Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get started. This is Matt Kuhn. I'm the National Sales Director at Payslayer Advantage. Thank you guys for being on here with us today. I've got a small agenda outline that I'd like to go over today. But as always, our conference calls are always an open forum for whatever's on your mind, whatever you need help with, whatever you want to throw out to the gallery, they get some suggestions on. You just throw it out there, and usually you can get some pretty good input back on it by whoever's on with us that day. So, does anybody have anything specific? I know Ryan and I were talking a little bit before we actually got started here. He was just asking about, you know, direct express cards and then other credit debit options. And I just mentioned to him that, like, a net spend card, if a client has that or is willing to get that, that'll actually have an account number and a routing number associated with it. So you can run that with the carriers that require an account number and a routing number. So that's just another option if somebody doesn't have an actual checking or savings at a local bank. So that's what he was asking about there. Anybody have anything else they want to bring up to start things off? Okay, well, what I've got on my list to cover today, I think last week on the call I'd mentioned to you that we were going to have Security National Life on with us, which is still the plan. That's going to be pushed out probably 3 weeks to a month. I talked to Security National Life this week, and they've got a new application filed in their home state, which will then filter to all their other states as soon as it's approved. I don't believe that's going to include any product changes as far as underwriting or rates go. It's just going to be a new layout for the application. At that time, when they do file that, they're going to open up a couple additional states that have not been available with Security National Life in the past. I know the state of Minnesota is going to be available for the first time ever. The state of Oregon is. So I was thinking there was one more. There was three. I'll have to check on that. So once they unveil that new app, we're going to have Security National Life on the call with us, and then they can also go over anything that's going on new with them. So push that out 3 or 4 weeks, but they will be on with us before too long here. Another thing, I guess, why we're on that, I mean, Security National Life, for those of you who haven't tried it, does have the e-application. Which allows you to get an instant decision in the home, put the meds in, put all the information in. It'll do a prescription check in the background and give you a preferred or standard or a graded while you're in the house. That's still kind of in its beta testing, which has been for almost a year. They've still got bugs they're trying to work out on it. But I've used it fairly smoothly when I've used it. And it's, as far as e-apps go, true e-apps, not just a PDF that you put your information in and still has to be sent to underwriting. But as far as true e-apps go, it's probably the most simple process that we have. It takes literally about 3 minutes to get their information typed in. As far as signatures, it doesn't use like a VeriSign or a true signature app that's going to take you out for signatures. It's the signature is a matter of the client. You know, you sliding your iPad over or your laptop over in front of the client and they type their name in. That's their signature. So it's a very smooth, very fast process. If you haven't tried that or you want to try that, I know we've got some agents that have no desire to do that whatsoever and others that are very tech savvy and would do everything electronically if they could. But if you haven't tried that and you want to, just let me know. I'll get you a link for it. You'll have your own personalized link so they know that when something's submitted that it came from you, that you were the agent on it. So just give me a holler if that's something you're interested in. And then when we have them on the call in 3 or 4 weeks here, we'll get more information on that and have them go over the details of that with us at that time also. So that was just a little bit more on Security National Life there. what I have on my list to go over today is just kind of starting back from the basics as far as, you know, last week we talked a little bit about, you know, setting your goals for the week, or excuse me, for the year, and then breaking them down into weekly goals. And we touched a tad on how that helps structure your week. But I'd like to just get into a little bit more on putting your week together, your plan for the week, and how you go about that. And then next week, I'd like to move into more of actual presentation, objections, you know, things, more kitchen table matters than what we're going to cover today. So today I'd like to get into a little bit to what kind of questions you guys have, what help you need as far as setting your week up. So everywhere from setting your appointments, or if you're door knocking, how you go about that, what hours you're getting that in, what days you're doing that in. So, you know, the first thing, I guess, is that guys really have to kind of decide what their primary method of attack, or their primary implementation is, as far as if they're somebody that prefers to be a straight door knocker, or somebody that prefers to be, you know, an appointment setter. That's kind of the first step when you go to setting your week up, is deciding how you're going to go about it. And when we say door knocking, first of all, for some of you guys that are on the call that aren't familiar or just stepping into final expense, when we say door knocking, that's not cold calling. It's still usually a direct mail lead, could be another form of lead, but usually a direct mail lead, and then just going out and knocking on the door with that lead. And some folks, I know that if you're new to final expense, that doesn't sound like a good idea to you. But you'll realize once you get into this that when you keep the demographic in mind, most of the folks that we market to, that respond to our direct mail leads, really don't think twice about somebody showing up without an appointment. And the whole reason for that, or why that is a viable method, is simply because of the direct mail lead card that has their signature on it. So yeah, if you're just completely cold knocking and you show up at somebody's door, they're not going to be very receptive to you. Now, you show up at somebody's door, and as soon as you can immediately show them the direct mail lead card that has their signature on it, it's completely different as far as the reception that you get. Again, so we have plenty of agents that's just what they do. They don't call and set appointments. They don't like the phone. They think they lose business on the phone. They think it's too easy for somebody to tell them no on the phone. You know, they feel that if they have a signed direct mail lead card in their hand, that they're going to get the most bang for their buck by getting that card in front of that person immediately, or, you know, before any kind of contact is made, making sure that person can see that card that they'd sent in. And that's completely fine. I can tell you my first, I think, 6 or 7 years selling final expense, I never set an appointment, never picked up the phone. I actually was kind of, you know, brought in under the assumption that the phone's not a good idea. You're going to lose business on the phone. Too easy to say no on the phone. So, you know, I followed that and did just that. And I wrote a lot of business. I mean, I think I still averaged over $250,000 of premium every year without ever picking up the phone. So that's a very viable method. Now I can tell you that's not the majority. That's not what I would say most of our agents trend towards right now. Most of our agents prefer to have an appointment whenever it's possible. So they're going to get on the phone and they're going to set whatever appointments they can. Now, that being said, I don't really, you know, care what your primary method of attack is. The bottom line, though, you have to be comfortable door knocking, because try as you may, and you can want all the appointments in the world, you're simply not going to get in touch with everybody on the phone. And usually that fine line between being really successful and average, or between not making it and average, is whether you can go out and door knock and get that last one or two sale out of the ones that you couldn't get on the phone. I mean, that's really what's going to be that line that either floats you or you fall out, or if you're average, that's going to be the difference between staying average and becoming an exceptional producer. Is, you know, even if you're an appointments guy, you've got to be able to be comfortable outdoor knocking on the rest of them. So, any questions thus far? Okay, well, we'll cover both of those methods here, or get into both of those as far as whether you want to be a door knocker or an appointment setter. I think the first thing to remember, though, is you're not an insurance salesman. Your goal is not to sell insurance until you sit down at the kitchen table with the TV off, no distractions, and sitting belly to belly or eye to eye with somebody. Up until that point, you're an appointment salesman. And I don't care if you're sitting at home at your desk on the phone, or if you're standing at the front door that you just knocked on with a lead card in your hand, or if you've gotten into the house and there's six dogs running around and four kids and the husband's, you know, back in the kitchen and the wife's sitting on the couch. Insurance just shouldn't be a part of it at all until you've sold an appointment and people are sitting down at the table with you and the distractions are put away and they're focused and ready to talk to you. If you decide, if you try to be an insurance salesman before you get to that point, you're going to run into problems. And so what I mean by that, if you start qualifying on the phone, so if you start asking on the phone, well, what kind of insurance do you have already? Or how's your health? Or, you know, how much insurance were you thinking about? Or how much month can you afford? If you start getting into stuff like that on the phone, it's going to be detrimental to you. So I think it's important to keep in mind that I'm an appointment salesman. Until I can get at the table, face-to-face, belly-to-belly, with the person I'm wanting to talk to, I'm simply an appointment salesman up until then. And like I said, same way, if you're sitting at the front door and they start getting into questions about, well, how much does this cost? And, you know, what kind of insurance is this and everything else? And if you start getting into all that and answering all those questions before you're sitting belly to belly and have somebody that's captive to you, you're going to run into problems. So be an appointment salesman until you're sitting at the table. Then you can turn into an insurance salesman and you can get into, you know, seeing what somebody qualifies for, seeing what they've got already, seeing what their budget is and everything else. If you get into it before that, it's going to cause issues for you. So, again, first of all, setting appointments. So if your primary attack is I want appointments, you know, I like the phone, I'm comfortable on the phone, I feel like I'm effective on the phone, then absolutely, you know, be an appointment first guy and, you know, sit down and make whatever appointments you can first. I think most people agree that, you know, that gives them, if they can head out the door, whether it be Monday morning or Tuesday morning, whatever day they start their week, hopefully it's Monday morning, but that most people agree if you can start your day on Monday morning and you have appointments lined up for you, whether that's two appointments, whether that's six appointments, or whether that's, you know, 10 appointments, that gives them a much better feeling heading out the door on Monday morning. That gives them a slight air of confidence as they head out the door Monday morning, knowing that they have something lined up and somebody to see. If you're going to be an appointment first guy, you know, what I recommend that you start your work week on Sunday about 5 o'clock and sit down and start making your phone calls on Sunday to try to set your appointments for Monday. It goes without being said for a lot of you, but some of you that are new, you know, when you get on the phone to set appointments, always trying to set appointments for the very next day, not trying to say, you know, what works for you this week, or, you know, being on the phone on Sunday saying, or are you open on Thursday? When you're working on the senior market, if you're setting appointments more than one day out, you're going to have problems with no-shows. Just simply, even people that are probably interested and would very easily sit down and, you know, allow you a full presentation, just forgot. So I definitely don't recommend setting your appointments any more than, you know, the very next day. Now, that being said, you get on the phone and you're trying to set an appointment with, you know, Mrs. Smith, and, you know, you're telling her, I can see you tomorrow on Monday, or you want afternoon or do you want morning? And she says, well, geez, I'm going to be gone all day tomorrow. I'd love to talk to you on Tuesday. Well, we're going to take the appointment for Tuesday. So we're not going to turn something down. But like I said, your goal, what you give as far as options for appointments tomorrow. And again, we have a full appointment script that's on the training side, or if you need it, email me and I'll email it out to you. But, you know, our appointment script simply comes down to, you know, I'm going to be over there in your area tomorrow as morning or afternoon. And that's the only option that we give. Somebody's got a big bag of potato chips there or something. So if you do, if you're going to get on the phone, I highly recommend you use our phone script and not that you use suggestions of it or that you kind of follow it loosely. Now, I mean, I totally understand that, you know, you got to find what works for you and make it your own. But when it comes to the phone script, I recommend you follow it word for word. And it's what I use, and I won't tell you that I invented it or wrote it. You know, I got that phone script from a guy that trained me 16 years ago, and it's just tried and true. And to give you an example, we have an agent in Illinois. He flew down to Kansas City and spent 3 days in the field with me, doing a great job. I mean, he's in his first 3 months in the business, but he's doing an excellent job. But, you know, when it comes to appointment setting, at first he tried to just go at it his own with no script. Didn't work very well for him. He thought that's a bad idea. The phone doesn't work. Next thing he did, I just kind of encouraged him. I recommend you use the script. So he got the script out and he used parts of it and kind of ad-libbed it and changed it to his own liking and had a little better success. But he's like, that's still, I'd much rather just go knock on their door. It's like, so I asked him, I said, why don't you follow it word for word? Actually get it up on your computer, print it out, have it in front of you, whatever you need to do, follow it word for word. Obviously don't sound like you're reading it. Try to sound as natural as possible, follow it word for word. And he did that. And, you know, he told me firsthand, you're absolutely right. It was completely different when I followed the script word for word on the reception I got from people, and then therefore the number of appointments that I got out of it. So that phone script that we have, like I said, it's got my name on it when you look at it, and it's what I use, but I won't take credit for it. I didn't write it. I didn't come up with it. It's what was given to me and what was been, like I said, tried and tested through years and years. If you're going to make appointments, use that script. And again, our appointment script is very non-committal in the fact that, you know, what we're doing is purely trying to find a time which they're going to be there and we know we can get in front of them. So just from a scheduling aspect, we're not trying to qualify on the phone. We're not trying to, you know, judge interest, qualify for health, budget, anything else like that. What it comes down to, plain and simple, with our product lineup we have, there's just really not anybody that we can't write. So, you know, from that, from a qualifying perspective, we're not trying to eliminate anybody. We want to get in front of all of them. And that's, I don't care how sick they are. I really don't care what their budget is, because, you know, budget wise, we can come way down on the minimum policy that we can write. I really don't care if they have insurance already or not. If they do have insurance, I'm always looking to add on to it. If the situation fits, I can replace it and find them a better deal. So I don't want to eliminate anybody on the phone. So therefore I'm not going to qualify at all. I'm going to call and let them know who I am, why I'm calling, and do they want to see me tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon? And then, you know, once they let me know that, we'll get it down. Thank you. We'll see you then. Bye-bye. So, I mean, our average time on the phone, once somebody picks up, you're looking at less than a minute. Because once again, here's who I am. Here's why I'm calling. Do you want to see me tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon? That's, again, something that I highly recommend if you're setting up appointments, is to keep it short and sweet. Less is most definitely more. Just find a time when they're going to be there so you can get the information. I'll pause, take a breath there. Questions? Anything anybody wants to add to that at this point? All right, we'll move forward then. So again, staying with appointment setting. And again, I'm going to mute everybody just to eliminate the background noise, but you've got the ability to unmute yourself, or if you don't see that button, then I'll unmute you down the road here and you can add whatever you'd like to add. So again, back to appointment setting, how I structure my week. So again, I think Sunday is there's a golden hour, a golden 2 hours on Sunday to call, like 5 to 7. It's the best response I get on the phone. Find the most people at home, get the people that are most receptive, not in a hurry, not trying to just rush you off the phone. They're very receptive to appointments. So Sunday, 5 to 7, unless I've got a family obligation that absolutely keeps me from doing it, then you can bet that I'm going to be sitting at the desk making appointments Sunday at 5 to 7. And again, that's twofold. One, it's just a really good time to be on the phone. But two, I just strongly believe in the importance of Monday work, of getting out the door, you know, bright and early Monday morning and getting your week started off on the right foot. And I've talked about it before, but some of you guys might not have heard it, but they're just a completely, if you can go out and get a couple apps in the books on Monday, it changes your perspective of the week. You sell from a point of confidence. You feel like you're playing with house money. And it just kind of sets your week off on the right foot. And then on the other hand, if you go out and you do work one day and you have a bad day and you don't write anything, well, guess what? It's only Tuesday morning now with zero in the books, to where is, you know, if you didn't work Monday, your first day is out Tuesday and your first day is bad. All of a sudden it's Wednesday morning. You got nothing on the books. You're stressed out about it. Your clients can feel that in your presentation, and your attitude is completely different than if you get your week started earlier in the week. So, but again, that's the two. Sunday's a great time to be on the phone, and it works well because Monday is when you want to get out there and get some business on the books. So when I sit down on the phone on Sunday, I'm calling through all my leads. I want Monday to be as full as possible. When I set appointments, obviously there's geographical restrictions, you know, depending on how rural the area is you're working or how spread out your leads happen to be for that week. But I mean, we do, you know, everybody that's on the fixed cost lead program that we assign leads to, we do as the absolute best we can to keep their geographical area as small as possible on each given week, to make them the most effective that they can be. So, you know, usually you're going to try to be in the same city or the same quadrant of the city or, you know, whatever it is, but we try to keep them as close as possible. When I set appointments, obviously, assuming that they're close enough to do so, I set appointments on the hour every hour. And some people think that that's, you know, how do you do that? How can you possibly do that? Well, a couple things that allow me to do that. One, I've been doing this for a long time, so I'm extremely efficient in the house. And I don't mean to say that like I'm a super salesman in the house. The efficient part I'm talking about is, you know, having a very, very highly tuned bullshit meter. And when somebody's bullshitting me in a house and I can tell it's not going anywhere, I'm gone. And so I think that's, when I say about being efficient in a house, that's more about not necessarily closing the sale, but finding out in a hurry when I'm not going to close it and moving on. And, you know, once that point is there and I've realized that nothing's happening here, I will literally be out the door within 30 seconds. And I don't say that from a point of being a jackass or being rude, because I always leave on a friendly note. But it's just simply, you know, I've got things to do and I've got people to see and people to help. So once we realize that there's nothing that's going to happen at this table right here, I'll close my book, put it in the bag. And, all right, well, thanks a lot for your time. You know, here's my card. By all means, if we can help you out down the road, please give us a call. And then I'm on my feet and I'm moving towards the door. So that's one thing that allows me to do appointments on the hour. Every hour is being very efficient in the house. Note of being efficient. So let's say things are going well, there's a need, I'm going to make a sale and everything else. Again, I'm efficient. So if somebody, and we all know we have the clients that don't even stop and let you get a word in edgewise, well, I have no problem interrupting those people and staying at the task at hand. So if I'm in the middle of filling an app out, so I've already got a verbal commitment to what we're going to do, and somebody wants to keep telling stories about that one time, whatever it is, I have no problem interrupting them and getting them back to the application. And I think something, the agents that struggle with that will let, somebody dominate that and tell stories and whatever else, they worry about being rude, interrupting somebody, being rude, whatever it is. But I think the one thing you have to remember is that when you're with a client who you're having trouble keeping on task and, staying focused on what you're there to do. People like that get interrupted all the time. Just simply because that's anybody that communicates with them has to do the exact same thing to do so. So don't worry about, offending anybody. If you get into a situation where you can't stay on task and it's dragging things out, just politely, take them back, direct them back to the task. So being efficient is one way. I can do appointments on the hour, every hour. Another way is that when I set appointments, I give a window. And somebody told me, you're like the cable guy. You're not going to pin yourself down. And I don't. So as I go through my appointment script, I'm the guy that gets that information out to you. I've got to be over there not far from you tomorrow. Is morning or afternoon better for you? They say morning. Okay. Well, I can catch you like between 9 and 10. Does that work for you? Yeah, I'll be here. All right. Well, I'll see you between 9 and 10, and it'll only take us about 10, 15 minutes. Great. See you then. So that hour window is important too for me, just so I'm not, feeling like I'm behind schedule all day or nobody's getting upset with me because you said you're going to be here at 9 and you're not here at 9, or having to call people and say, hey, I'm running late. That hour window is just as good as a concrete time pinned down as far as the making sure people are going to be there for you. But yet it gives you that cushion that if you're running a lot of appointments, and you do take a little longer in one house, that you still can show up to the next one at, I told her between 9 and 10, it was actually 9:30 when I got there. That's fine. That's still within what I told her of the 9 to 10. So even appointments on the hour, every hour, if you give an hour window, that gives you plenty of time. Also, if you have a ton of appointments and you're on the hour every hour, you're going to get caught up. If you get behind schedule, so I'm running behind schedule, but then I run into one house that I didn't have to be there more than 10 minutes because, whatever, the daughter shut it down. She told me right away, we're not doing this, or whatever reason it is, or you get no-showed, you're going to get back on schedule. There's going to be something that, if you're running, 10 appointments in a day, you're going to have probably out of those, one of them is going to be extremely short because people just aren't going to sit down and listen to you, or you got no-showed or whatever it is. So even if you get behind schedule, you're going to catch back up. And then that 1 hour window, also make sure that you've got plenty of time to get there without actually being late. So, any questions, anything anybody wants to add to that? Okay, so my typical work week, I do like to set appointments. I'm going to get on the phone on Sunday, set as many appointments as I can. So if I have 30 leads for the week, I'm going to sit down and call on Sunday, 5 to 7. And out of those 30, I'm probably going to get about 12 appointments. I mean, that, and that's usually, you know, what Monday will look like. If you get on the phone on Sunday from 5 to 7, you're probably going to set just in that one calling session appointments with probably 40 to 50% of your leads just in that one calling session, first time calling through. And again, that varies. I mean, there's times when you're going to do better than that. It's an average. You're going to be better than that. And there's times where you got down and it felt like nobody even picked up the phone. But as an average, when you sit down and call through, you're going to set appointments about 40 to 50% of those. So that's my goal, is to get whatever I can get out of calling through that week's fresh leads completely booked up for Monday. So usually when I head out the door on Monday, there's not time to do any door knocking or any following up or whatever it is. Usually that day is completely booked with appointments. Once I run those appointments on Monday, I'll always get back on the phone on Monday evening. Usually it's a little later when I get on the phone, but whenever I get out of my last house there, I try to make sure, even if I've got a super late appointment, you know, somebody wasn't going to be at home from work till 7:30. And so I ended up with an 8 o'clock appointment. If I see that, then I'll make sure I leave a window between 7 and 8, to have phone time. But you know, usually that last appointment's wrapped up by, you know, 6 o'clock, something like that. And so I'll just get on the phone after the last appointment and I'm calling back through the ones that didn't pick up on Sunday. And you know, out of those, so say you had 30 leads, say you set 40% of them, you know, so you had 12 appointments on Monday, means you got 18 leads left in your hand, that you didn't talk to. You know, a handful of those, are going to pick up the phone on Monday that just simply didn't on Sunday. So when you call on Monday night, you're going to be able to get some appointments for Tuesday, but obviously it's not going to be as full as Monday was, because you eliminated or scheduled or already set with a good handful of those people. So usually Monday night I get back on the phone and end up with another, you know, 3-4 appointments on Tuesday, something like that. So Tuesday when I head out, I have those appointments to run. There's fewer. They're going to be a lot more spread out. So in between those appointment times, I'm going to start door knocking the people that won't pick up the phone for me. And I just try to pay good attention to that. So, you know, if I got a 9 o'clock appointment on Tuesday and then my next appointment's not till noon, well, I'll hit my 9 o'clock appointment, and then immediately after that, I'm getting into my stack of leads and seeing what zip code is closest. So if my 9 o'clock appointment was in zip code 64133, then immediately after that 9 o'clock, I'm knocking on the doors, you know, so whatever there was, 2, 3, 4 leads in that same zip code that wouldn't pick up the phone, I'm knocking on their door at that time. Then I'll hit my 12 o'clock appointment. Immediately after that, I'm knocking on the doors that were closest to that one. And then so on. So Tuesday, you know, for me is usually a mix of hitting my final few appointments and then start the door knocking process. And then sometimes I'll get back on the phone Tuesday evening, at least to try to contact my fresh leads once again. And it's a grab bag. You know, you might have one that finally felt like they were able to pick up the phone, or, you know, just simply hasn't been home the other two times you called. But, you know, usually get back on a call through those fresh ones again. And then a lot of times Wednesday, I won't have any appointments when I go out. It might be one that I snag, but a lot of times Wednesday is completely a door knocking day. And then that's also the day when I will incorporate anything in addition to this week's fresh leads. So as I head out on Wednesday, you know, say I have no appointments, I'm going to be door knocking. Well, there's last week's, you know, the 4 that I couldn't get a hold of from last week, and then the 3 that I didn't get a hold of from the week before that, you know, assuming that we're still working in the same county and we haven't moved on to the next county, then I'm going to include those in my door knocking rotation when I go out on Wednesday. I'll usually commit, if I'm going to door knock for a day, I usually commit to door knocking. So one thing I can tell you about door knocking is a half-assed effort on it is going to be a waste of your time. So if you just say, well, I'm going to go door knock for a couple hours. So I'm going to go door knock from, you know, 9 to 11 or 9 to noon. That's usually just not worth your time. I mean, when I go to door knock, I'm committing the whole day from it, from, you know, 8:30 a.m. until the sun goes down. So if that's the winter, that's till 5:30 when it gets dark. I don't expect people to open the door for me when it's dark out. If that's in the summer, that's from 8:30 in the morning till, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. But if I'm going to door knock, I commit the whole day to it. And the purpose for that is, if you commit a whole day to door knocking, you have a much better chance of actually finding those people. If you commit 2 or 3 hours, then you're simply just taking a stab at the dark, hoping that you're knocking at the right time when they're home. But if you commit a day to it, so say you've got whatever it is, 12 leads to knock. If you commit the whole day to that, so you start knocking at 9 o'clock, and you know, you go through those 12 leads, usually by, let's say, 2 o'clock. Again, geography plays into it, but usually by 2 o'clock, you've made your rotation on those. And so that you had 12 leads. The first time you knocked, you found three of them at home. One of them told you to go pound sand. Two others let you in. You gave full presentations and you closed one of them. Okay, so now out of those 12, you're down to 9 leads. So it's 2 o'clock, I've made a full rotation, I'm down to 9 leads. I go right back to the start of that rotation and I'm knocking on those same doors again. So this time around, out of those 9, probably gonna be, you know, something similar to what it was the first time. You found one of them at the door, told you to go pound sand. You found two others that one of them maybe gave you a presentation. Wasn't that interested, couldn't get anything done with it. Another one, you got a presentation and it made a sale. Then it's probably 5 o'clock now, 4 o'clock, whatever it is. I'm going right back, and it's the third time I've knocked on those doors for the day, but that's where it's going to be. You know, that person wasn't home at 9 o'clock. They weren't home at 2 o'clock. I mean, that gives us a pretty good indication that they've got a, whether it be a job or a volunteer work or whatever it is, they've got an obligation that has them in the morning. Well, I mean, with our age groups, you usually don't find people that are working, you know, 12-hour shifts. So if they weren't home at 9 o'clock in the morning, there's a good chance they're going to be home by 3, 4, 5 o'clock. So when you make that third trip through there, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to find, you're going to get in touch with those other 6 that you couldn't in the morning. But that's why I commit a full day. If I'm going to door knock, I commit the full day to it. Because if you just commit a couple hours in the morning or a couple hours in the afternoon or whatever it is, you're just simply rolling the dice on whether or not you're going to get in touch with them. And then guess what? You're going to have to be back out next week or Thursday or whatever it is, trying to run those same people down and rolling the dice again if you're knocking at the right time. If you commit one day to them, that's where the chances are that you're going to get that lead work for the day. So, again, I'll pause and take a breath. Anybody have any questions on that? Anything they'd like to add to you? Okay. The other thing I would like to add to that is your goal. Again, I'm directing this towards all the folks that are on our fixed cost lead program that know they have a fresh 20 leads coming every Friday or a fresh 15 leads every Friday or 30, whatever it is. Your goal should be just simply get an answer on all of those before the weekend. And if you can do that in 2 days, if by Tuesday you've got all those concluded and you got an answer on them, awesome. Or if it takes you 3 days, awesome. Or if it's 4 days, whatever. But that should be your goal, is just get an answer, yes or no. And I know it's inevitable that, you know, something, the voice stuff that comes up that, you know, this person sounds interested, but they couldn't meet with me, so I got to push it off to next week or whatever it is. I mean, it happens. We don't like it. We don't want it to, but it happens. But, you know, my goal is to just everything I can to get an answer on that lead this week, to conclude that lead, which either means I made a sale or I was able to get a convincible no out of them. And what I mean by that is I got far enough that at least they knew who I was and what I wanted to talk about, and they still wouldn't meet with me. That's a no. Or I got a presentation in, I couldn't close it. That's a no. Whatever it is. I mean, the things that on the other side of that fence, not closing, would be like, oh yeah, give me a ring next week. Or you make a presentation, it's like, oh, that sounds really good, but I don't do anything without talking to my daughter. You know, things like that. And those are the ones that agent killers to a degree, because especially new agents starting out, they want to hang on and chase every one of those. And it's something that ends up being a time suck, primarily because it takes away their time and energy from what they could be spending on fresh prospects and fresh leads. So, I mean, the goal should be to get an answer. If I've talked to somebody, it's very rare that I'm still going to have that lead in my hands next week. If I've talked to you, then my goal is to be able to throw that lead in the trash at the end of the week, simply because either I wrote you or you convinced me that I'm not going to write you. What I hate to have and what I try to eliminate is people that I've talked to, but there still is an opportunity there that cannot be solved, or we can't do anything about until next week or until February or whatever it is. I don't want that. I want to talk to you, and I want to either make a sale or I want to be able to at least get far enough in where you can tell me, simply can't do it, can't afford it. You know, whatever it is that you convinced me there's no sale there. And we'll try to next week get more into actual presentations, objections. So, you know, the person that tells you they can't afford it, how are you handling that? The person that tells you, I need to talk to my daughter, how are you handling that? What are you doing to get an answer on that right now, today, so I don't have to hold on to this lead till next week? So we'll get into all those things. But, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is just get all the leads worked. If you do that, you're gonna do just fine, because it's simply a numbers game. I mean, when you get a stack of leads, whether it's 15 or 35 or whatever it is, there's just a certain number of people in there that are going to buy. There's a large number in there that aren't going to buy. I mean, we know it's like 70% of them that aren't going to buy. So we just got to find out who those are and get them out of the mix so we can focus our attention on the ones we got a shot on. So, you know, if you've got a stack of 30 leads, there's a certain number they're going to buy from anybody, buy anything from anybody. They're just waiting for you to show up and to get in front of them. And then there's that couple in the middle, you know, that 2, 3, 4 in the middle that can go either way, and you need to be a salesman, and you need to do a good job of educating on them on, you know, what the problem is and showing them the solution and, you know, getting them to come over on the buy side of the fence. So it's a numbers game. And I can tell you that most agents who fail out of this, they simply do so because they don't do the work necessary to get in front of the people and get an answer. There's plenty of guys that are great salesmen, sell me under the table any day of the week. They fail out of this though, because they don't have the work ethic, the self-discipline, and the planning to get out there and get in front of the people and get an answer on. Because if they did, they'd be top producers, lucrative. But it's usually not lack of sales skill, lack of product knowledge, lack of savviness, anything like that when guys fail. It's simply they don't get out and get in front of the people. Because if you get in front of them and you get an answer, yes or no on it, it's a numbers game and it's going to work out for you. So, questions.
Hey, Matt, did you say the best time for you to call was between 5 and 7 on Sunday? Is that right?
Yeah, it is. And I call even later than that on Sundays when it's necessary. I mean, 5 to 7, yes, I think that's kind of the golden window there. But, you know, if I'm busy with my kids or whatever, and sometimes I can't even get on the phone until 7 because we have a game or a tournament or whatever it is. Well, I mean, if I get on the phone at 7, I'll call 7 to 8, 7 to 8:30. I mean, and it's every now and then you get somebody that's, you know, I had one this last Sunday that was upset that I called on a Sunday, but it's rare. And I'm just polite about it. It's like, oh, yep, I completely understand. I'll touch base with you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye. You know, but it's rare. I mean, it's usually not a problem for people. And same thing time-wise, if I have a late calling night or, you know, I'm calling later than I like to and somebody, you know, I can't believe you're calling this late. It's like, oh, boy, I didn't realize it is 8:30 already. I'm sorry about that. I'll touch base with you tomorrow. I can't tell you that either of those, you know, the Sunday or the man you're calling this late, I mean, they're not deal killers. I mean, they're not something that shut you down, and they're extremely rare. I would say once a month, and I'm making a lot of phone calls, I'd say once a month somebody makes note of, I can't believe you're calling me on a Sunday. And then same thing, once a month I might have somebody that say you're calling me too late, but it's not a deal killer.
Got it. Thanks.
Yep. Absolutely. Anybody else have any other questions, concerns, anything they want to throw out? Okay. You know, as far as what we talked about, scripts and all that, again, that's in our final expense training manual. It's on our training site. I think all of you have the password for that. If you don't, give me a holler or have the address for it. It's just www.paysetteradvantage.com/training. Password is agent-training. But if you're looking for scripts, I think they're on there. I'll check as standalone PDFs, but if they're not, they're definitely part of the final expense training manual. Other than that, don't forget about our lead co-op program. We have some guys that take great advantage to that and are getting their leads. I'm looking at a lead sheet here. Some guys are saving $5 a lead. Some guys are saving $9 a lead. There's 12 on one, 3, 5, 3, 7. Guys are saving a lot of money on their leads. Again, that's just based on previous month's production. So something that can definitely help you out with the bottom line and with the expenses. Other than that, next week, we'll look at getting, again, more into the presentation. So once we're at the kitchen table, how are we getting things kicked off? How are we handling objections, things like that? As always, if you have any questions, concerns, anything we can help you out with, do not hesitate to call. We do a pretty good job of being available at whatever hours you need us to be available. So if you need help with something, give me a ring, Jerry, Lisa, you know, whoever it is, and they'll help you out. So other than that, I'll shut things down. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and you kick it off and have a successful week of sales next week. So have a great weekend. Take care.